We are now in the second week of Lent, so we should be making some progress as we strive to follow the Lord, as we strive to deepen our journey of conversion, as we try to repent, and as we prepare for the coming Paschal celebrations. And the liturgy helps us. In case we get lost along the way or distracted, every day we have an instruction, an inspired instruction. Of course, yesterday we had the great vision of Jesus on the mountain. We had this encouragement to look toward the glory of God. Today we have what we could call a lesson in mercy. In the first reading, the prophet Daniel asks the Lord, "Be merciful." And in the gospel, Jesus says to us, "Be merciful." Be merciful. Lord, be merciful to us. Jesus says, "Be merciful as your Father is merciful." This opens our eyes to a dynamic between us and the Lord. And it's important to reflect on this a little bit. Maybe you could call this spiritual theology, but it's just a deepening of our understanding of how this spiritual journey works. We might ask, well, where does this start? Since we're asking God to be merciful and he's asking us to be merciful, well, who's merciful first? Of course, the Lord is always the beginning. But in a certain sense, it doesn't matter where we start. Because once we enter into the journey with the Lord, he guides us to take the next step. So yes, it always starts with the Lord, because he's merciful to us before we even know that we're sinners. But we're not necessarily aware of that when we turn to him. What might come to our mind first is that we're sinners. We might be ashamed or burdened or afraid. And so it's important to start by asking him to be merciful, even though in another moment we might say, well, he was already merciful. So sometimes the spiritual writers give advice about how to start praying. And usually the beginning has to do with praise. Praise God, thanksgiving to God, or opening ourselves to the Holy Spirit. Those are typical first steps of prayer. But some start with repentance. Start by getting sin out of the way. I would say it doesn't matter. You can start with either one. Praise the Lord, and as you open your heart to praising the Lord, you'll realize, oh, you're not worthy to be in the Lord's presence. We're not worthy to be in his presence. We better repent. And when we repent and we open ourselves to his mercy, then we have more to give thanks to God for. And then when we're grateful to God, we're also opened to the love that God has for other people. And so we start being merciful to others. Or, and this often happens, we are moved to do something for someone else. We're moved by compassion. And as we do it, we realize, oh, I got a blessing because I did this for him. And God was at work in me, inspiring me to do that for him, and I give thanks to God. And then we say, well, gosh, God has been merciful to me, and he's treated me so much better than this suffering person, and then we give thanks to God. Or we realize that when we're relating to other people, that we haven't been merciful, we haven't been generous, we haven't been patient, and then we're repentant. You see, what happens here is a kind of ongoing cycle. It's like asking, oh, which do you start with, prayer, fasting, or almsgiving? Well, just start. Just start. If you want to start with almsgiving, you'll realize how much you need prayer and fasting. If you want to start with fasting, you'll realize how much you need prayer and almsgiving. When you pray, you realize you have to fast and be merciful. It's a kind of a snowball effect, if you know that expression. It builds as you do it. So in a sense, it doesn't matter where you start. Because once we're with God, he's the one, he's the generating power, and we're tapping into what he's doing. God is merciful. Yesterday we went up the mountain, we saw Jesus transfigured on the mountain. And we heard the voice of the Father, "This is my chosen one, listen to him." You see, some of this dynamic is revealed as soon as you reflect on God. The Father says, listen to him. When we listen to Jesus, what does he talk about? The Father. Be merciful as your Father is merciful. When you pray, pray, "Our Father who art in heaven." So when we listen to Jesus, he's always directing us to the Father. When we turn to the Father, he says, "Listen to my Son." There's this ongoing gift. This, you could call it mercy, because mercy starts with God. You could say, well, it's always taking another step or moving us in another step. The Father begets the Son returns everything to the Father, all in the Holy Spirit. So when we receive the Spirit, we enter into this dynamic. So here's Jesus telling us, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. So the Father's already merciful, therefore you should be merciful. Not that we have to be merciful to God, although we could call it that, but be merciful to those to whom God is merciful, meaning everybody. The Bible scholars point out that St. Luke's expression, "be merciful just as your Father is merciful," is the equivalent of St. Matthew's expression, "be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect." We reflected on that last week. I think it was Saturday. Be perfect as your Father is perfect. Well, that seems impossible to us. But if we realize the perfection of God is love, and the perfection of love is mercy, well, then it will make sense to us. Be perfect means be merciful. Be perfect as God is perfect means be merciful as God is merciful. Be like God, and you'll be perfect. Now, God is always the starting point, but once we're with him, then we can experience ourselves as taking steps too. We decide to be merciful. God doesn't force us, but when we're with him, he inspires us. Here in the first reading, Daniel starts with, "Lord, great and awesome God, you who keep your merciful covenant toward those who love you and observe your commandments." Beautiful start. You're merciful to those who love you and observe your commandments. But what about those who don't love you and don't observe your commandments? You're merciful to them too. That's Daniel's inspiration. That's, oh my goodness. Here, yes, God is good to the good. But everybody's good to the good. Even pagans are good to those who are good to them. God is good even to those who are not good. And because of that, we have confidence when we call out to him and say, "Be merciful. Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned. Do not deal with us according to our sins. Deal with us according to your mercy." It's a great thing to do because we can know that it really works. If we're just focused on our sins, that's a dead end. That's just discouraging. Don't just focus on sins. Bring your sins to God. Don't let shame become an obstacle to your relationship with God. Don't let sin be an obstacle. A dead end. But that's getting off the process or getting off track. But once we're with God, even though we're sinners, we can make progress because he's merciful, and because he's merciful, we can be merciful. And when we're merciful, we experience more mercy from God, and it goes like that. I was reflecting on this earlier this morning. I went out to take a walk, and I saw a father walking in the street with his little girl, maybe 2 years old, maybe not even two, but she can walk, but not very well. And so they're holding hands. So she's holding her father's hand. She's reaching all the way up like this, holding her father's hand. And the father, you know, is kind of half stooped over to reach down for the daughter's hand. And they're walking along pretty slowly, but for the girl, very fast. And it was a beautiful, if I had a camera, I would have taken a picture. Beautiful image of a father and a daughter. And also a picture of us and God. So here's the little girl walking as fast as she can. And I thought, well, I wonder whose idea it was to go outside this morning and take a walk. Maybe the girl, you know, saw a cat or wanted to see the clouds or whatever. Or maybe the father said, hey, little girl, let's go out and take a walk. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. As long as they're together, as long as they're walking together, it doesn't matter who gets the idea. So they're walking. I went on my way. After a while, I turned the corner. I discovered them again. The father's carrying the little girl. So the girl couldn't walk that far. I mean, she probably never walked that far in her whole life. So he's carrying her along, just walking along, bringing her home. I said, isn't that beautiful? Isn't that part of the dynamic, our relationship with God? When we can't walk anymore, he picks us up and carries us along. So I assumed he was going to carry her home. He didn't. He walked past their home and kept walking. And I said, oh, I wonder what that girl thinks of that. Now she's carried her. And then he put her down again. Now, was that his idea or her idea? I don't know. But he put her down again, and they started walking again. I said, isn't this exactly what I was reflecting on? Maybe even better than what I was reflecting on. Because I wasn't thinking about being carried. But I was thinking about this dynamic of what we do and what God does. In a certain sense, I have to be careful, but in a certain sense, it doesn't matter what we do and what God does. What matters is that we are with God, that we're walking with him. Because even though we can't walk very well, even though we stumble, we fall, he picks us up. Even if we can't walk at all, he carries us. And even if we are tired of him carrying us, we can still walk with him. It's a very beautiful image of the Christian journey, of the life of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, of the command to be merciful as our Father is merciful. So reflect on that a little bit. When you hear this liturgy, we're asking God to be merciful and he's asking us to be merciful. Reflect on it in light of being a child of our Father who loves us, who's merciful to us, who carries us.